At verses 17 to 20, Proverbs 20, 17 to 20. Before we begin our journey tonight, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the word, those who are here to partake of it. We pray your blessing on this midweek service. We pray that you would give us wisdom that we so desperately need in this very foolish world. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some psychologists who are now just beginning to figure out the reality that there can be great power in the tongue. If you, for example, go to work tomorrow and you say something nice and positive to someone, it'll set their whole day off in a good way. By the same token, if you go in and say something down or negative to someone, it'll probably set their day off in a lousy way. That's the power of the tongue. And when you look through the book of Proverbs, it's quite obvious that this tongue is a very important issue when it comes to wisdom or folly. Perhaps there's no greater demonstration of wisdom than in the area of speech. The way a person relates to speech will tell us much concerning whether or not one is wise or foolish. And it is as if Solomon keeps bringing us back to this theme every few verses, because he wants us to realize this is critical to wisdom. And obviously it's critical to God. Speech is a central part of wisdom, and that certainly is what these verses are all about, as you'll see. What Solomon is communicating here is how we relate to wise speech, and how we use our own speech determines how wise we really are. Now, Solomon, again, is going to bring this theme up, and he keeps doing this over and over again as we wade through the book of Proverbs. This issue of speech is critical to our wisdom. In other words, the way we use speech, the way what we listen to, and the way we take in speech and relate to the speech of other people has a great determining factor as to how wise we are. If we're careful to what we listen to, if we're careful to whom we listen, if we are careful in the selection of our own speech habits, we are classified as wise. If not, we're foolish. Now, there are four main admonitions that I want to show you tonight from this passage of Scripture that Solomon brings out about our speech. Admonition number one, a wise person uses honest speech. Notice verse 17, bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Now, the basic point of this proverb is that a wise person uses speech in an honest way because he realizes that if he is dishonest in his speech, it'll eventually catch up to him. He'll eventually be caught as being a dishonest individual. I read of a little boy who was getting in the habit of lying, and his mother was trying to do everything she could to discourage him from lying. And the problem really came to a head one day when this boy came home late from school. And when she questioned him about being late, an hour late, the boy said he stopped at a nearby lake and went fishing. And the mother said, well, did you catch any fish? He said, yes, I caught 50. And she said, well, where are they? He said, well, there were some hungry people sitting on their porch, so I gave them the fish. Well, the mother was obviously very angry about this, and she said, that's it, you're going to go see the preacher. So she hauled him into church to go visit with the minister, and the minister said, I think I've got a good idea what I can do to solve this problem. So after the boy was seated in his office, the pastor said, son, I want to tell you a story. He said, after the service last Sunday, I was at the altar just looking around, and suddenly there was a strange sound. When I turned around, there was a grizzly bear that was coming right down to the front of the church, inside the church, walking toward me. He said, he came toward me, and I was very fearful about what this bear would do. In fact, he reached up his two paws and started choking the very life out of me. He said, I would have been a goner, but just then there was a little Chihuahua dog that came in from the side of the church and dragged that bear outside, dug a huge hole, threw the bear into it, covered it up, sat on top of the grave wagging his tail. He said, now, son, do you believe that story? And the boy said, yes, that was my dog. the kid had a habit of lying. And although that story might be funny, the truth of the matter is lying isn't. Now, when the proverb opens with the statement, bread obtained by falsehood, it's referring to somebody who will lie in order to gain something. So there's a person who actually will do that. If they think it's going to get them someplace or get them some deal, they'll lie. A person would distort the truth in order to have an immediate gain. And at first, the dishonesty seemed to pay off. It produced something that tasted sweet. That's what the verse says. Bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man. So when the man lies or cheats and gets hold of the bread and eats it, at first it tastes good to him. It temporarily appeared worthwhile to tell a lie. The person thought he's really getting away with something. He's really pulled a shenanigan wool over somebody's eyes, and he's just enjoying what he got through lying and manipulative tactics. However, God's word makes it clear it won't be too long until he'll be choking on that. Now, the concept of having a mouth filled with gravel is a concept that is often used metaphorically of chewing small stones to actually having your teeth broke or breaking your teeth. Lamentations uses it that way. So what I understand Solomon to be saying here is that even though a person may think he gains something by dishonesty, that he's getting away with it, there will come an initial surge of gain which appears to be sweet, but in the aftermath of that, God will see to it that that person goes tumbling down. God will see to it that what that person was involved in will bring total discomfort, injury, and it is so distasteful that it'll taste like gravel. Eventually, what appeared to be so pleasing to the senses will leave a person broken. And it doesn't take too many lies to do that. Joe Biden, if you remember, a number of years ago, lied about his academic record in his speeches when he was running for political office, and it caught up to him. And when it caught up to him, it took him right out of the race because they realized that he was making a mockery and wasn't living honestly. Now, this is what this admonition is all about. It's an admonition to live honestly, not deceptively. Now, being deceptive may bring you some short-term benefits, but in the long run, it's going to bring you to disaster. That's what this proverb is teaching. In other words, it may seem sweet that you got away with something for a moment. You may think that nobody kept the record, nobody saw it, you're just going to walk away unscathed. God says, oh no, that is not going to happen. I'll see to it that your deceptiveness will track you down. So a wise person just lives life honestly and tells the truth. Wise is a person who tells the truth. He is what he is. He doesn't attempt to color reality, just states plain facts, doesn't distort things. That's the mark of wisdom. Which brings us to the second admonition. A wise person listens to wise counsel. Verse 18, prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. Now, that word plan is a word that refers to various projects or plans that one would set out to undertake. And the idea of having a preparation or purpose is the idea of creating a project or some plan. And the proverb is saying, don't be irrational. And don't be hasty. When you're making your plans, talk it out, think it out. Now, it is very important to notice that the word consultation is a word that refers to speech that comes from one who is wise, one who's prudent. And that's what the Hebrew word would mean. The consultation idea is you're listening to counsel from somebody that's in a position to give it. And the words wise guidance and make war by wise guidance refer to the advice from one who's particularly cunning, who's in a position to give wise guidance, who's been there, who's seen it, who's done it, who's in a position to actually give some ruling advice as some governmental leader. Now, if we take what is said in this proverb together and put it all together, what we have here is Solomon saying, look, if you want to make your plans go, if you want to achieve the goal, achieve the objective, it's imperative that you listen to counsel, but not just any counsel, because all kinds of people can give you their 2 cents worth. Listen to counsel from those that are in a position to give it. And obviously, when it comes down to spiritual things, the best counsel in all of the world is that which comes right out of the Word of God. Now, I don't want you to also overlook the idea that is brought out in this proverb about making war and make war by wise guidance. The idea of making war is not to be overlooked because that word war is a noun that does refer to fighting a battle, and you intent on winning the fight. I mean, you're not just fighting for the fun of it, you're fighting with the goal of winning. That's what the warfare is all about. So what's being stated here, and this certainly would have meant something to the nation Israel, who were at times dominated by foreign powers, is if you have plans that you want to undertake, then you make those plans by seeking the counsel of otherwise warriors. You get wisdom from people who are godly, who are in a position to give you wisdom, who are in a position to lead you to victory. Now, only a person who is utterly foolish or totally conceited refuses to listen to and heed the advice of those who are wise in a particular field. Those who end up accomplishing good things and great things are those who want to fight and win the warfare, are those that counsel together, and they have consultation, and they make a careful plan, and they lay out the plan, and then wisdom sees that it gets done, and God's hand is in all of that. Now, it's a known fact that the great political leaders of all history had great libraries. Some of the main Roman cities during the first century featured massive libraries. It is said that Josephus, the Jewish historian, who wrote about AD 60, had himself a personal library that was massive. We know that Abraham Lincoln was a prolific reader. Obviously, these are people who were consulting history and consulting things at their disposal before they made decisions. They learned this important tactic that wise is the person who seeks counsel from those who've been through the battles, those who've fought the wars. You can learn good lessons from this. I was interested in an interview that just recently happened with Rip Hamilton when the Detroit Pistons defeated the Indiana Pacers. And Rip Hamilton is, as you know, for those of you that follow basketball, is a guy who's pretty much patterned his career after Reggie Miller. And it just so happened that Rip Hamilton has Reggie Miller as actually a hero in the sport of basketball, and his very movements are patterned after him. And he said, "I was kind of sad to actually have to be the one that was involved in the process of beating the Indiana Pacers myself. I didn't lose any sleep over that, but apparently he did. But this was the interesting thing he said. He said, now I'll be able to call him up and I can really learn more from him as the days go on, because I can call him and talk with him and he can teach me a great deal. That's the mark of wisdom in the sport of basketball. And that certainly is the mark of wisdom that Solomon was after here. There are those who believe they don't need to seek counsel from anybody. They just think that they can make all the right decisions on their own. Those are people that say, if you just give me a Bible, I'll look up a few verses and I'll just figure it all out. Well, let me tell you, you can't just pick up a Bible and figure out all the intricacies of theology and life. It's true. The Bible does contain many things that are very simple to understand, but there's also things in the Bible that are very complex, and things that require careful analysis, careful in study, and careful exposition. And those are things you just can't go there and just automatically figure out. Wise people listen to the Word of God when it is taught accurately. God works through people. And it's not just in the arena of theology, but it's in the arena of your world as well. Wise people will listen to others who know what they're talking about. Now, the third admonition is the wise person avoids those who gossip. Verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip." Paul said, concerning the same type of person, throw him out of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you get a gossip, get him out. Put him under discipline. You know, when you put somebody under discipline, you'll have people that will question you if you've got moral right to do it. If you have a serious case of immorality and you put somebody under discipline, they will, in fact, there'll be always be some that will rally around the person that's under discipline and question, how could you put this poor person under discipline? I want to tell you, here's the Word of God saying, you're to cut off fellowship from a gossip. Now, you will notice that the counsel of this proverb is that when you discern that you're dealing with someone that is nothing more than a gossip, don't meddle with them, don't associate with them. And that word associate is a word that means to mix, to exchange, to intermingle, to have fellowship with. Solomon's advice is simple. Do not associate with one who's known to be a gossip. Don't fellowship with people like that. They're going to drag you down. They're going to pull you into mud. Don't open up. Don't share intimate details with people who use their mouths to talk to other people. Don't flatter people. Don't give them the time of day. Don't spend time talking to someone who's going to turn around as a talebearer and disclose something they got on you in a slanderous way. That is not what you want. That's not the mark of wisdom. Dr. H.A. Ironside said this was the most detestable character a person could have. Now, this kind of person just loves to be in the center of things and reveal secrets. And this is the kind of person who, as one writer said, just loves to get some little juicy bit of information so that he or she can somehow get on the marketing trail of revealing it to somebody else. That's what a gossip does. They're not interested in addressing issues. They're not interested in confronting problems. They're not interested in helping people. What they're interested in doing is just taking what they've learned or heard and just passing it on so they can talk to somebody about somebody else. Gossips are very, very foolish. In fact, James says that unless a person can control speech, the entire worship is very empty. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, 11 to 13, this person should be excommunicated from the fellowship. I read a book that was written by a lady whose name was Rebecca Brown. The name of the book is He Came to Set Captives Free. Now, she has some really strange theological ideas and quirks, but if you understand her background, maybe that explains why she does. She was a Satanist, and ultimately she came to faith in Jesus Christ, and then ultimately she wrote about the experience of what things were like when she was a Satanist. Near the end of the book, she describes the fact that they actually had a game plan of destroying churches that were dedicated to truth through gossip. She said that it was the goal of Satan to try and make every church a Laodicean type of church. And she went on to say that one of the ways that this could be accomplished was through gossip. In fact, she said, and I quote, "Gossip is Satan's prime tool," unquote. She went on to say that there had been times when these people were planted in the church. They really weren't in tune with God. They weren't in tune with doing the will of God. They were planted in the church to try and wreck it. Their mission was to verbally destroy as many people as possible, thus destroying it from within. Now, what Solomon is saying is gossip is a terrible, dangerous sin. And those that are on the path of continually committing that sin are not wise people of God. They are foolish agents of the devil. Wise people do not gossip, and they don't run with those who do. Which brings us to the fourth admonition. And I just am giving you what Solomon says. If you know somebody that's a gossip, don't hang around with them and keep your mouth shut. No matter what they say about you, no matter what they think about you, don't talk. You'll be doing yourself a great wise favor by keeping silent in the presence of a gossip. Now, there's a fourth admonition, and that is a wise person does not make light of his parents. Verse 20, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Now, that word curse is a word that means to make fun of, to esteem as of little account, to actually think lightly of a person. The point is, a wise person does not lightly esteem a mother or father. That would include the godly instruction as well as their very lives. Now, Solomon is saying that a wise person is not going to make light of parents, and if a person does, what he promises is their lamp will go out. In fact, he promises two things, as near as I can determine, in verse 20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness or in the midst of darkness. There are two things that I see in that proverb that will happen that's promised by God if, in fact, one thinks lightly of mother or father. Number one, his lamp will be extinguished. What I understand that to mean is the life of blessing, a life that radiates the glory of God, a life that's one that really establishes that this is a believer, will not be seen in any way, shape, or form, and this person will not prosper in any way. God will actually take the lamp, and that life will end up a waste because he will not allow this person to shine forth what he should shine forth if he thinks lightly of his or her parents. The second admonition is he'll be put in the middle of darkness. And that's kind of the way the Hebrew words work. The idea means he's going to be ending up in the middle of darkness, or it says his lamp will go out in time of darkness, but the emphasis of the Hebrew here is that this guy will end up right in the middle of things which are very dark. And the concept of darkness is one that's used of many negative things in Scripture, many poetic things that are negative in Scripture. It is used to describe fearful adversity. It is used to describe ignorance. Darkness is used to describe wickedness. Darkness is used to describe great sorrow. It's a dark time in a person's life. It's also used to describe death. It's a days of darkness. And what Solomon is saying is, look, a person who thinks disrespectfully of mother or father and their godly teachings or their God that they've been trying to encourage them to serve and love, that person will discover that he will end up being cast into the middle of adversity. God will see to it that this person will end up ignorant on a path of wickedness. He'll end up sorry. He'll end up perhaps even dead. That's a stern warning that is given to the people of God. You do not think lightly of mom or dad. So young people who just think lightly of their mother or father, they mock them, they ridicule them, they're heading towards some real tragedy. Now you say, well, this is Old Testament economy. This was when God was working with the nation Israel, and it's true, it is. But we also have the same admonition in the New Testament. Because let me have you go over to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to notice, if you would please, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That is a New Testament, grace age, church age principle. That honoring father and mother is something that will be viewed by God as honorable and viewed by God as rewardable. By the same token, dishonoring parents is something that is viewed by God as punishable. Now, all of this that we're looking at tonight has to do with what we're doing with speech, in regard to speech. Are we a straight-shooting individual? Or are we false? Do we tell the truth? Are we honest? Are we trying to obtain things falsely? Or are we just shoot straight? Are we one who's willing to get consultation from those in a position to give consultation? Not fools, but those who are in a position to know, those who are in a position to understand. Are we willing to get that kind of consultation before we act? Do we go about as a slanderer or a gossip or a talebearer? Or are we the type of person that we don't want to quickly have to repeat matters unless it's absolutely necessary that we need to address something? Do we have a right attitude toward father or mother? These are all very practical demonstrations of wisdom that can be worked out right now. And these, again, as we said in Proverbs, it's just right down to real life, right down to the earth and world in which we live. Any questions or comments about this tonight?